Question 25. How much, then, is a man better than a sheep? Luke 13, 15 through 16, then 14 in verse 5, Matthew 12, 11 through 12, combined, abridged. Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? Now, hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? There's a wonderful truth here that's hidden under the arguments on Sabbath keeping and interpretation of the law. It's a simple question that's more difficult to answer today than it was in the days in which it was asked. The society of today places great value on animal life, of all sorts, with the exception of human life. We live in a world where every year we're told 1.5 million children are killed in the womb of its mother, and at the same time a person who mistakenly spayed a cat that was newly pregnant was in danger of being incarcerated for animal cruelty. We're taught to feel guilt for our position at the top of the food chain, and humility is defined as boasting of our being at the bottom of the world's priority list. All of this modern foolishness aside, we must, if only for a moment, look at the world as our Father sees it. In truth, nothing matters more. We must see life as His creation and His design in order to implement His plan. On the eve of the end of the perfect will of God, the day that sin found its way into the heart of Adam, God made a statement when He chose the death of a lamb to facilitate the atoning of sin. Although we don't find blood sacrifices performed for the atonement, we do find that the Scriptures mention that God made Adam and his wife clothes of skins to cover their nakedness that was now causing shame. We have no way of knowing it was a lamb from which these skins were obtained, but perhaps it was, as it was a lamb that later became the symbol of atonement, covering. Granted these conjectures, we could say that God took the life of a lamb to cover the sins of man. All of the references to the lamb, from Genesis through Revelation, take on some form and character found in the sacrificial death of Christ. It requires no theological degree to readily see the metaphor, parallel, and symbolism that are to be found throughout the Testaments, Old and New. For the lamb skins provided for the first sin in Genesis, to the Passover lamb of Exodus, to the lamb that John the Baptist claimed was to take away the sins of the world, to the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world found in Revelation, Jesus is, was, and shall be our Pesach, our Passover, our atoning sacrificial lamb. Because He loves us, He gave His life for ours. The lamb dearly beloved, slain by divine commandment for the sin of the world. The Passover is a wonderful example of the love that God has for man. The lamb that was to be slain was not to be brought in from the fields on the day of the slaughter, nor was it to be purchased at the stockyard and slain. The lamb was to be brought from the fields and into the home of each of the families of Israel, as if it were a pet. For 3 days prior to its being killed, this lamb would likely become endeared to each family member as they were forced to see it and feed it day after day, probably from their own table. It is as though God never wanted the Passover lamb to go unnoticed, unappreciated, or valued as nothing. The lamb is the epitome of servitude. It has no other purpose than to give. No reason but to serve. The lamb always provides food and clothing, and neither offers resistance to the one who shears it, nor to the one who slaughters it. It is this innocent animal that becomes the symbol of redemption, the innocent lamb that did no wrong, that never strayed from its Creator's way or disobeyed, the lamb that submits to any, rebels against none, the symbol of purity and gentleness, was to suffer for no cause of its own making. It was to die for our sin. I think that the account in 2 Samuel 12:3 is Nathan's remembrance of the emotions he felt for the Passover lambs from his youth. It is an account that illustrates the Passover lamb and describes the practice. But the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. The value of this lamb was to be well understood at Passover. The lamb was to be loved, its slaying dreaded, and its consumption made distasteful for sorrow. But why? Again, a message is found in Jesus' question, "How much then is a man better than a sheep?" We can make no mistake about the love God has for us if we understand the value he places on sheep. Knowing this, Jesus Christ came and took on himself the form of a servant. He took on himself the form of a lamb, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So when Jesus asked, "How much then is a man better than a sheep?" he places your life in great esteem and deems his own as expendable. These words are prophecy of his own death and make clear to us his intent to give himself, the lesser, for us, the greater. By these words, we see his evaluation of himself as our servant. Our Father God places great value upon us as well and loves us very much. The parallel continues in the Passover ordinance, and the sacrifice is made inside the family of God. Our Father took his lamb, raised in his own house, and that ate from his own table, and offered it in our place. Then he went further. This lamb was not simply the best of his flock, or just his pet, or even his best friend. It was his only son. His beloved son willingly took this position as less than man, as a servant of man, in order to accomplish this task of ultimate and total selflessness. Knowing that he was to be the sacrificial Lamb of God, knowing that he had willingly placed himself in this category of expendable livestock, he had the love and grace to ask the question, "How much then is a man better than a sheep?"